At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to All Indians Matter. I am Ashraf Engineer. India's urban population is increasing exponentially, with more than 33% of India's 1.3 billion people now living in cities. It's only a matter of time before a majority of Indians are city dwellers. However, urban infrastructure is not keeping pace. As a result, the quality of life is plummeting. India's transition from a rural country to an urbanized one provides unique opportunities for cities to transform themselves for a sustainable future. Can our cities rise to the challenge?
All Indians Matter.
We have on the show Kutub Mandviwala, Chief Architect of the Bhindi Bazaar redevelopment led by the Saifi Burhani Upliftment Trust. Spread across 16.5 acres, the project aims to replace more than 250 decrepit buildings, rehouse 3,200 families and relocate 1,250 shops into modern structures in one of Mumbai's oldest localities. All of this is being incorporated into 13 new buildings, wide roads, modern infrastructure, open spaces and commercial areas. The project, estimated to cost roughly $1 billion, was initiated by the spiritual leader of the Dawoodi Bora community, His Holiness, the late Dr. Sayyedna Muhammad Burhanuddin. The undertaking is important because it is widely considered to be a template for urban redevelopment projects to be initiated across India. Its learnings and success could have implications for how urban planning is approached going forward. As Chief Architect, Kutub is a key player in it, and we will speak to him about the challenges and need for urban transformation in India. Welcome to the show, Kutub.
Hello.
Kutub, why is urban renewal and transformation important for the country?
So, urban renewal and transformation is, in today's time, is one of the most important factors in a country like ours. Our country was at one point a total rural country with certain metros which were there. And the maximum population is to be there in the rural areas. In the recent past, we are seeing a large amount of population which is moving from the rural areas into the urban areas.
That's
right. Also, we have some of our cities which have got organic growth. In other ways, you know, these growths have just come up in an organic fashion. And they are not supported by proper infrastructure. Hence, urban renewal and transformation is very important to keep up with the pace of the inflow of people coming into these urban areas and to the modern facilities and infrastructure that we require.
So, Kutub, could you explain how the inability of urban infrastructure to keep up with the growing population impacts quality of life, first of all, as well as related aspects like public health and sustainability?
So, if we... The problem with the urban renewal system or the urban infrastructure that we are talking of, that if this urban infrastructure is not modernized and not kept with the pace, then you are going to have these narrow streets filled up with cars, scooters, you know, and with the population that we have, we hardly have any pavements to walk on. Also, we see that, you know, the public health, because of the pollution that is created because of these cars, etc., and the vehicles, and the facilities for, you know, garbage collection, drainage system, everything starts affecting the health of the people which are there in these places. So the sustainability factor takes a backseat because all these places are getting affected and public health also, in other ways, starts getting affected because of this.
Right. Kutub, given the scale of the problem, is it possible for governments to handle this alone, or do you think private initiatives like yours are better?
I think that public and private partnership would be the best for urban renewals because, see, the infrastructure is basically the responsibility of the government to do it. And, you know, development is more of a responsibility of kind of buildings and this to be done by a private person. So if there is a combination of public and private partnership, I'm sure that it's going to be more beneficial in this kind of a development.
Right. And for the benefit of the listeners, could you define what exactly are urban redevelopment projects? Now, what I'm trying to say is that this is not an entire city being transformed. So could you explain it for the readers what exactly happens in such projects?
So as I said, you know, that some of the cities are not totally planned cities. These are organic cities which have come up. These cities have come up, you know, about a century back. So the roads are very narrow. You don't have parking facilities. The buildings which are there are in dilapidated conditions. People are not living in very healthy conditions. They do not even have proper toilet facilities. Buildings do not have elevators. And there is hardly any space for people to walk or to drive in these spaces. So in these kind of areas, you know, which are there, where instead of doing redeveloping one individual building, it becomes much more beneficial when we start taking an urban redevelopment project, where we start creating new infrastructure to support the lifestyle, to support the modern facilities, to create better sanitation, to create better sewerage systems, to create better parking facilities, and to create better livable homes and houses right. for people.
And so what are the tangible economic benefits of such projects?
So the economic benefits, when you do an urban renewal, you are uplifting the whole area. You're uplifting the lifestyle of the people. You're uplifting the infrastructure. So it's an upliftment of that whole city which happens. So because of that, the lifestyle changes, the economic growth changes, the businesses in that area changes. So there is a ripple effect, and overall there is a more acceptance of people living there, more acceptance of people coming and doing businesses in these areas, and, you know, allowing overall development in that. So that is eventually going to help in the economic growth of that area.
Right. What you're saying is because supporting infrastructure and other facilities improve, the ecosystem for businesses also improves, and therefore there's an economic upliftment. That's what you're saying essentially.
Yes.
So what about other benefits? I think that it's not just economics, right? It's also public health, there's sanitation. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So, you know, most of these areas, the buildings, as I said, are very old buildings. Mm-hmm. These buildings were basically built for, you know, people who are coming from outside the city. They were coming right. for the purpose of work, you know, and this. So they were, you know, staying in a system which was known as a chawl system. So people mm-hmm. had these houses or rooms which were given to them. And their common facilities like toilets, etc., which was there to them. Now, with time, all these houses and all these things, these public health in that area is like taking a back seat, because you are having common facilities, common toilets, you know, so there is no proper sanitation. The pipelines are all very old. So when you do this urban renewal, you recast everything. You recast houses, you start giving self-contained homes to people with proper toilet facilities inside, you start creating proper sanitation, you start creating facilities for people. So it benefits in an overall infrastructure development in that area.
Mm-hmm. And so could you explain the concept of cluster redevelopment projects specifically?
So cluster redevelopment is a new government bylaw which came about 10, 12 years back, which we call it as 33.9 in Mumbai. So any cluster which is more than an acre could be considered into a cluster redevelopment. So as I said that in Mumbai, you know, we used to do a lot of redevelopment projects because a lot of these chawls used to get dilapidated and they were not in condition to stay in. So those buildings were bought mm-hmm. down and new buildings were pulled up. Now, when you started putting these new buildings, they were done on the same plot without working on the infrastructure, without recasting the infrastructure. So for example, in Bindi Bazaar, the old roads were all 6 meters, some were 4.5 meters, some were even 3 meters. You know, so if in a normal redevelopment, those roads never got widened, the pipelines never got changed, the gullies or the gutters between the two buildings remained as it is, and with minimum light and ventilation, you were creating buildings out there, which were just popping up like pencils out there in different places. But when we did the cluster redevelopment, mm-hmm. we took the 16 and a half acres of a parcel of land. Now, in this, we recasted all the roads. So from 6-meter roads, we started putting 15-meter roads, 16.5-meter roads, 18-meter roads, depending on the traffic pattern. And, you know, from very small plots, from small 26 small plots, we made it into 9 sub-clusters. So each sub-cluster got a good plot, which is there for sale. And each of them is a self-contained. So each sub-cluster has got commercial shops which are there, which we have rehousing for people. Then there are apartments on top. But below the commercial, there are basements where there is a parking only for commercial. Then above the shops, there is a parking and podiums, which is only for residential, which in today's time, there is no parking space. People have to park on the footpaths and park on the road. Then we are giving apartments and houses where people of 350, 375 square feet, nice. Where, you know, there are two rooms, there are two multipurpose rooms with two attached bathrooms or toilets, and there is a kitchen in the center. So you are getting a well-lit home with toilet facilities inside. And then we are able to put solar panels, we are rainwater harvesting, we are recycling black water. So it's a very sustainable growth that we are doing. We have aligned the buildings in north-south pattern, so and keeping the east-west open so that there's a lot of light, natural light coming in, but no heat coming in. And because the east-west is open, there is either the land breeze or the sea breeze, which is continuously blowing. So every apartment gets a lot of natural light and ventilation. So the overall electricity cost reduces and the load on people's income reduces and you get a very sustainable development in that area.
So let's take your project, the Bhindi Bazaar redevelopment. It's one of the most talked about really in recent times. It's being executed at one of Mumbai's most congested areas. Tell us a little bit about what the locality was like before the project started and what was life like for residents.
So, Bhindi Bazaar, before we started the project, in the 16 and a half acres, it, as I said, that it has around 26 small blocks which were there. Now, these blocks had these gullies which were there between the buildings. And these had very narrow roads, as I said, 6 to 9 meter wide roads, 6 meter, 4.5 meter, 3 meter roads which were there. And there were houses which were 100 square feet. And these houses were in 3 or 4 story buildings. There were no elevators. They had a very narrow staircase to go up. They had a common facility of toilets which were there, which were shared by on each floor by the tenants who were staying there. And these were all pagri buildings. In other words, there was a landlord and these people were tenants in the buildings. So this was the scenario. The buildings were 100 years old. They were dilapidated. And they were all cess buildings. In other words, they were mother cess buildings. So any repair was to be done by the mother. Mm-hmm. Now, this, because there was no parking facility, you know, and the roads were narrow, the cars were all parked on the street. There were no place for people to walk. So even the 1,200 shops, the commercial businesses were getting affected. The value of the shops were getting affected because of lack of walking space, you know. Now, so this was a scenario where and people's houses, you know, in 100, 150 square feet, there were two generations staying. So when I went to some of the houses, they had literally a curtain in between. So there was a husband-wife sleeping on one side and the parents were sleeping on the other side of the curtain, you know. And the kitchens were basically just alcove kitchens which were there in the houses. They didn't have proper ventilation. So there were general sanitation facilities. So there were rats and, cockroaches and a lot of pests. And most of the buildings had these supports which were put because they were dilapidated and they were in a very, unusable condition. So we took up the project, with the blessings of His Holiness. And we recasted the overall 16 and a half acres. We made 9 sub-clusters, about 13, 14 buildings coming up in that. And each of the sub-clusters, as I said, we tried to make it as sustainable and as complete in its whole, in totality. The minimum houses are around 350, 375 square feet. These houses are having 2 multi-purpose rooms, which are in the morning, they are the living rooms, and in the night, they all become the bed sleeping spaces. They both have attached toilets. So that, you know, people get their privacy, right. And in between is a kitchen. All these rooms are facing natural light and ventilation. We are creating one of the biggest high street shopping in the 16 and a half acres, where every shop, whether it is ground first or second floor, is facing towards the road. So all these jobs are facing towards the road. So we are making commercial more viable. We are widening the roads from 6 meters to 15 meters, 16 meters, 18 meters. We are creating large pavements for people to walk so that people can come and the shopping also works well.
Right. When did the idea of this redevelopment happen and how did it actually come about? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So, as I said, it was a vision of the late His Holiness Dr. Sayyedna Muhammad Burhanuddin Sahib. And it was his vision to uplift the lifestyle of the people and uplift the homes of the people living in that area. So that is how this vision was there. And we worked on the vision. And that is how we started the project. And, you know, when that point of time, the law was saying to give only 300 square feet. But in my very first presentation, you know, His Holiness told me, said that 300 is less. And I think the minimum we should give is 350 square feet. So he exactly understood how much a house right. was needed for a family of virtually two generations to live in. And that is with his blessings and with his vision and direction. We planned these houses and we planned the overall master plan.
When do you think it will be complete, the overall project?
Well, I think another 5 years is what we are looking at, 2025. So I think let's hope we are working right. on it.
And before I move on to other questions around urban redevelopment, could you tell us a little bit about the sustainability features of this particular project?
So we are having it a very sustainable project. It's a gold-rated project, a LEED certified project. So as I said, each and every subcluster is self-contained. So, you know, each subcluster has got, the buildings which are oriented north-south. That is the first thing that we need to do for any sustainable development in India. So that you cut off the heat coming from the east and the west, and you allow a lot of natural light coming in. But because the heat is reduced, your electricity load reduces. Then we are opening up the east and west between the buildings right. to capture the breeze so that, you know, the breeze comes into every house and you start getting good ventilation. Then we have got, as I said, all the requirements right from solar panels. We have got rainwater harvesting. We are recycling water. We have got compactors for the garbage collection. And then we are using all sustainable materials which are there. And we are using recycled materials which are there. And Bindi Bazaar per se had one tree in the 16.5 acres. Now we are planting 700 trees in this, some on the podium, some on the roads.
Just one tree in the entire 16.5 acres.
Yeah, there was only one tree in the 16.5 acres.
Incredible.
Till today, I could not locate that one tree. I was told, I've been walking around, but I've been still searching that. But we are planting 16.5 acres, around 700 trees. Which are there, some on the roadside and some on top of the podium. And we are, today there is no place for children to play, there is no place for children to go around. We are creating amenity facilities on top of the podium level, from gyms to multipurpose halls, and we are creating gardens and playing areas at the podium level also. So we are creating parking facilities, so reducing the pollution, and creating parking for commercial, you're creating parking for residential.
Right. But Gautam, the project itself has not been free of controversy altogether. So there are various criticisms also that it will increase population density and thus putting more strain on resources. Many allege that force was used to make tenants agree to be part of the project. And there's also the criticism that the area's unique culture will be lost. How do you respond to that?
So step by step I go, you know, the culture right. part, we are trying to work out on the same. So our buildings are very contextual. So we are creating a style of architecture where till the eye level is concerned to 24, 30 meters, we are working with the architecture style which is contextual to the surroundings. So there are a lot of masjids, there are a lot of religious structures. So we are taking inspiration from them. We have taken inspiration from the mausoleum which is there of the late Sayyedna Sahib, and taken the arch from there and made it contextual to the architecture of the buildings. So as far as the culture part is there, we are trying to retain it. We have had these buildings with nice stone claddings. We have had these shoppings which are connected back to the streets. So the whole lifestyle and the whole culture again gets connected with the whole. So that whole feel of Bindi Bazaar we are trying to get it back, where people, you know, the shops are there, the restaurants are there, which is all connected to the streets, and now they have got better payments for people to sit and eat and, you know, walk around. So that part we are getting it connected well. Then as far as the load is concerned, as we are making it a sustainable development, automatically we are reducing the load. The solar panels are reducing the electricity load, the rainwater harvesting and the recycling of black water is reducing the load on the water that is to be used. So if today an X amount of water is consumed by people, now at least 20% or 30% will be recycled water which will be used. Hence, the load of the water on the government also reduces, and on the this also reduces. So,
But what about the allegations of force being used?
Yeah, force, I am not the person, I am an architect, so I am into designing. And I am doing into my work is to see that people get proper houses, homes, and the shops get good facilities. So my work is to give them all the good this. I am not managing the tenants, so I have no idea on that part.
So Kutub, this project is said to be critical in many ways because many feel it will serve as a template for other such projects across India. But obviously something of this scale is tough to execute. So what are some of the problems that you've been facing?
So the problems are going to be there because it's a unique project. It's a first of its kind. So whenever you do a project which is first of its kind, there are issues which are never, which don't have a precedent.
Right.
So it's always going to be difficult, you know. So it was the inertia which was difficult, where, you know, tenants had to be, tenants and the area measurements and so many government authorities involved, from BMC to MARDA to everything, you know. And then realigning the roads, which was one of the first times it was happening in the city of Mumbai, you know, where we were realigning the road and giving that same road area back to the government. So there are a number of things which were there, you know, which had to be tackled, you know, which had to be gone through, and we did it, you know. And today, successfully, we completed the two buildings. And now we have set a precedent, not only for us, but also for other people to get inspired from this and take up this initiative.
And how did you ensure community participation and buy-in?
So, well, we had a lot of presentations which were done into to the community. We had presented the master plan in the three masjids to the community people, and we had explained the benefits of what this is going to do to everyone. And then when we finalized the unit plan, we circulated three options to the community. We took their and what was their preference. We went by that. So there was definitely a community participation at all points of time. And, it was, community has always been a part of the redevelopment.
What about coordination with government agencies for approvals or coordination? How easy or tough was that?
So I basically am a design architect. I'm not the liaising architect. Mm-hmm. But there is a team which is doing that work. And I'm sure they're doing, government is always going to support a project of this level because this is one of its kind, and this is going to set the base for other projects too.
But Kutub, let's come back to the national perspective. There have been various urban renewal missions. There's a Jawaharlal Nehru National Urban Renewal Mission. There's a Smart Cities Mission, which was more recent. Each one has met with mixed success. What we haven't seen so far is large-scale transformation, and that's really needed. What went wrong, or what do you think still needs to be done?
So if I talk of smart cities, you know, then Mumbai is a smart city. Okay. So you'll ask me, why is Mumbai a smart city? So I say Mumbai is a smart city because someone from Bihar wants to come and settle here. Someone from, Kerala wants to come here. Someone from Rajasthan wants to come here. Where there is a trigger, there is a smart city to start with. Okay. So for any smart city, you first thing you need is a trigger. You need where you're going to see, you're going to get a livelihood. So where you're getting a livelihood, you that. That is the non-technical part of the smart city. Then there is a technical part of the smart city, of how you do the roads and how you do the infrastructure and how you do. So there might be cities which are better than Mumbai as far as roads and infrastructure and population and travel time and everything. But still people come to Mumbai because Mumbai is a smart city. You know, so that is one part. Second part you asked me is why are some of the schemes not working? You know, So schemes like whatever names you give, you know, if they are part of the actual city or they are part of, even if it's a part of Mumbai or any other city. So the ground reality and the participation is very important. So for any scheme to become successful, you have to reach to the people at that level, and you have to make people a part of that scheme. Then only the scheme will become successful.
So any solutions, Kutub, for making sure that missions like this work other than the fund that you already mentioned, which is to ensure participation?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, that's why I said that a public and private combination works well. Mm-hmm. That, you know, someone is making people participate also. The government helps us to do the infrastructure also. So it becomes a combination in both the ways and seeing how to take this forward. Because without the participation of people, no scheme can become successful.
Absolutely. Kutub, thanks so much for coming on the show. Urban transformation is linked at the hip with the nation's growth and its future. So thanks for explaining this complex issue.
Thank you. Thank you for you know, making me a part of this conversation. And you know, we look forward to a kind of a great development happening. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. Please visit www.allindiansmatter.in. That's allindiansmatter.in for more columns and audio podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Ashraf Engineer. That's ashrafenginer. And All Indians Count. That's allindianscount. Search for the All Indians Matter page on Facebook. On Instagram, the handle is All Indians Matter. Mail me at editor@allindiansmatter.in. Catch you again soon.
Idea Blue Studios.